I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Hello and welcome to a very festive Christmas Eve edition of the Confessions podcast. I apologise for my absence last week, though. I was ill.
You were ill.
Yeah.
So should I apologise?
Yes. You can still apologise for being ill. Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I'm sorry that I got germs from someone else on the tube, probably who sneezed far too close. But anyway, but out of courtesy and consideration, I didn't come in and pass on the infection.
Yes, good for you. Yes, well done.
Even though Matt never gets ill, ever.
No, apparently not.
How does that happen with you?
Because I'm so fabulous, Holly, and my incredible lifestyle choices.
Does that mean your immunity is like, you should sell bits of yourself?
Sell bits of myself.
I'd like an intravenous drip of whatever Matt's having.
Yeah.
Do you take weird vitamins every day?
No, I've never taken vitamins. I won't get into that.
Because, supplements?
Yeah.
No.
Because
I bet you do. I bet you do.
About to give my thoughts on vitamins and then thought better of it.
Well, and obviously for some people,
they might work, mightn't they?
They might. Mm. Vitamin D, I think, particularly in these dark times, is universally accepted as a good thing.
Is that what dark time does in because of the news?
No, because of the weather.
Oh, right, okay.
The bit of the year we're at, like winter.
Oh, right, okay, those dark kind of times. Thing. Yeah,
yes, that's the darkness. If you want the other darkness, you've got to listen to another podcast. Anyway, Matt's here and Holly's here and Susie's probably in the pub with eggnog and something like that, a bit of Christmas ginger, I think, because she's got some time off.
Yeah.
Celebrating in the pub. Imagine having a pub at your disposal and just thinking, I could do with, I'll have a cup of tea. You wouldn't, would
no,
you?
No, you wouldn't. You'd have more of your ginger stuff,
King's ginger, very good. It's short and sweet this week. So what we've done is we've got the full parish notice board and not for broadcast sections. They're going to be back in the new year. But we've brought you the final Christmas confessions of the season, just in time for your last minute Christmas Eve wrapping. So there's a couple from last week. And no, it was one from last week because then I got ill on the Tuesday, and two from this week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I've got all the other festive confessions, which we've run out of days, basically.
That is true, yeah. Sorry.
So I'll keep them for next year. Anyway, so on the way, James' frightful forfeit tale in Who Dares Wins, Ollie's confession, The Fright Before Christmas. But first, we're kicking off with a confession from last week. It's Nick's Chocolate Trouble. Celebrate good times. Come on.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's festive confession comes from Nick. Thank you, Nick. Dear Father Simon, Christmas and the festive elves of forgiveness. My confession dates back to 2014, when my two daughters were just 3 and 4 years old. We'd all broken up from school the day before and were having a lazy Saturday morning together. My wife, being a nurse, was working at the hospital, so my daughters, their respective cuddly toy friends, Eugene the cat and I, were all snuggled up in bed under the duvet. I'd poured them each a plastic beaker of milk and we put Home Alone into the DVD player and it was all happy, excited, Christmassy loveliness. I'd opened the bedroom wardrobe earlier that morning to get my dressing gown. In it, I'd noticed a large gift bag of Christmas presents on the bottom shelf. This was surprising us, as all our presents were actually downstairs under the tree. Mm. My wife must have bought a new set of last-minute gifts, I assumed. I also noticed the red edge of a tub of Celebrations chocolates poking out of the top of said gift bag. I figured that tub was probably for me, because I was the designated chocoholic of the family. Mm. The temptation was too much. I decided to crack the tub open for us all to enjoy. I peeled off the sticky tape from around the edge and removed the lid. My girls each made a selection. I then made mine. I chose Snickers, as it was my favourite. And this is the correct choice, of course.
Oh, is it?
We then each searched through the tub as the film progressed until we'd eaten all of our chosen varieties. 2 hours later, we had a toilet break, a stretch, and probably a few star jumps, and then it was on to Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. We each made another chocolate choice, then proceeded to each empty the tub of that particular variety as well on our own personal search for chocolatey treasures. 4 hours later, and our Christmas bed film chocolate-a-thon was completed. I placed the three-quarters empty tub back into the gift bag in the wardrobe. My wife need never know about our chocolate indulgence. I'd just pretend the tub was all full when she gave it to me as my Christmas present in a few days' time. The next day, my wife was off from work, as it was a special day. Her best friend from university, with her husband and their young daughter, who we should call Mary, would be coming to see us. They lived at the other end of the country and had been our visiting relatives. They were taking a two-hour detour, so that my wife and her old university bestie could meet up. That Sunday was great. Mary and our girls had a lovely time. We took them to the park, went for food, then came back to our house to play games. We'd only broken up from school 2 days ago, but so far, Christmas was going swimmingly. Later that afternoon, our visitors were getting ready to hit the road for their 5-hour drive back home. As my wife was helping them on with their coats, she spoke to Mary. I've got some special presents for you to take back.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
She then called over to me and asked if I could go and fetch the Christmas gift bag that was up in our bedroom wardrobe, and I dutifully obeyed and headed upstairs. Now, I must admit, Father Simon, I'd had a few Baileys by this time, and my reflexes were not as sharp as they should have been. Uh-oh. I walked upstairs happy to help, and only when I opened our wardrobe did I realise just who that gift bag was actually for. Slightly slow on the uptake here, I think, Nick. Panicked, I quickly darted into my office next door and grabbed some sticky tape. I placed some along the tub edge to seal the contents inside. A stronger man would have returned downstairs and admitted his guilt. He would have explained that he had mistakenly assumed that the tub was a present for him. But I was not that type of man. I took the easy route. I said nothing. I pretended everything was just as my wife had left it the morning before. I couldn't pop into the car and drive to the nearest shop for a quick replacement. My afternoon Christmas Bailey's tipples had put me over the limit. I could not tell Mary, sorry I've eaten most of your chocolates. Luckily, my wife had other presents inside the bag, so the fact that the tub was so light from being mostly full of fresh air wasn't noticed. Father Simon, during the time of goodwill to all men and children, I would like to ask festive forgiveness for my despicable deed. Poor Mary would open a tub of Christmas chocolates in the next few days and find it mostly full of used wrappers. The only chocolates inside would be the ones that no one likes anyway and had left until the end, whatever they are. After they had gone, I confessed my crimes to my wife. She was, to put it mildly, none too pleased with me. I hope little Mary didn't think that that was how a tub of celebrations was meant to be. I reminded my wife of this story an hour ago, just before writing this. I received another telling off.
No.
Even after 11 years, she still hasn't forgiven me. Father Simon and the Festive Elves, I hope you'll be more generous with your forgiveness. I mean, it was pretty hardcore, really, to go through. Like, if you just have one or two, that's fine. But to destroy most of the tub and then seal it back up, I suspect Susie's going to be very, very tough on this one. What do you say, Suze?
Well, do you know what? I was with Nick for quite a while through that because, you know, if I'd have seen a box of chocolates, I may have done the same thing.
And
if I knew it was definitely for me, then I would have done it. I might have replaced it rather than just left it there and pretended that it was full when I opened it. However, as soon as he knew it wasn't for him, he should have admitted his fault. Not only did he just not do anything about it, he went and got sellotape and sellotape round.
He did.
That's not forgivable, and it's that point Nick lost me, and I'm afraid, Nick, your wife's right. It was terrible. I'm not forgiving you.
That's a fierce stare that you got there, Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive, because nothing says Christmas like sitting in front of Home Alone and Home Alone 2 and 3 and 4 and demolishing a big tub of chocolates. I remember when I first did that, it was like the last days of Rome. I love all that, just watching the telly and getting yourself full of chocolate. And, you know, genius move with the sellotape, by the way, Nick. Excellent, excellent move on that. And they were fine. They got loads of other prezzies and there were some chocolates left, so that's all okay, and the kids got the chocolate as well, so everybody won.
Well, they didn't have very many, they
had all the Snickers, and although I'd have preferred the Mars bar one anyway, that doesn't matter because I'm still going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Holly, what would you have chosen from the Celebrations box?
I think I'm a Galaxy Caramel kind of girl.
A bit sweet, don't you? You need a little bit of Snicker action in there, a little bit of peanut.
Snickers are also good. Also Milky Way. Bit too sweet for you, no?
I prefer my chocolate, like, solid. So, like, the Milky Way one. Is that a Milky Way one? No, the
Mars.
The Mars bars, that's pretty solid, isn't it? And the Double Decker one.
If you put them all in the freezer, then they're all going to be solid.
All the sweets in the yes, yeah. I suppose so. I've never thought of doing that.
When I was the tuck shop manager at school, the thing we sold the most of was frozen Mars bars.
You've mentioned this. Yes.
It's a fantastic thing. Maybe not in the middle of winter, but still. Yeah. The rest, I just passed that on.
This was before Mars bar ice cream.
Definitely before Mars bar ice cream.
Cool, cool, cool.
In fact, Mars bar ice cream, in comparison with a frozen Mars bar, I'm afraid the frozen Mars bar wins every single time.
Really?
And is a lot cheaper.
Interesting.
Just passing that on. Anyway, now, parish notice board time. This is where Matt reviews everything and finds things that praise him to the skies.
Yes, I do.
But you got something slightly different here, I think.
Yes, I do. So I have an email from Simon.
This is called sight reading, by the way.
Isn't it?
Never seen before.
Sharp-eared among you might have spotted that. Hello, Father Simon, Brother Matt, and the Sisters of Mercy. Whilst listening to the most recent podcast, you asked for listeners to email in with their Spotify Wrapped percentages.
I did, yes.
Well, I would like to add mine, if at all possible, and maybe start the Confessions 1% Club, of which I would love to be member 001.
Look at that.
Yeah. Obviously, it goes without saying that this form of dedication stretches back over vast distances of time from the early years in which we only find recordings of your good self in amplitude modulation and then onto the groundbreaking frequency modulation.
Oh, AM, FM.
Well done, yes. Yeah, okay, thank you, Simon.
No static at all.
None. As podcasts go, Confessions is far and above any other.
So true.
There are not enough stars in the universe to grade it. I find myself taken back to different times when hearing your soothing voice, and Matt is the funniest man on the planet. He should be knighted for services to comedy. Oh, it's so good. Please send me some tat from the cupboard. Your loyal supporter, Simon Dean.
Well, thank you. So top 1% listeners. So that you're
so
absolutely
in order to be top 1%, cool. You've got to stream, according to this, 7,107 minutes of the Simon Mayer Confession.
Yes.
So anyone below 7,000, I'm afraid, were not interested.
Holly, are you going to waft something in his general direction?
Yeah, we have an email here from Archie, and I think it beats Matt's. He says, "Dear fantastic Father Simon, sublime Sister Susie, and heavenly Sister Holly, and of course, brilliant Brother Matt." Oh,
yes, okay. Brilliant.
The other week, just like the rest of the nation, I received my Spotify Wrapped for 2025, and I immediately navigated to the podcast section of my results. I can see why he said that, because in the podcast section, it took a while to get there. You had to skip through a few bits, but you got
really?
There. Unsurprisingly, the Confessions podcast reigned supreme in my number one spot, see attached images, with the podcast From the Dark Side in the number two spot.
Now, so considering there's been absolutely nothing from them for years.
Yeah.
2018, 2019, something like that.
That's how come that's... Maybe that's one of their most popular podcasts.
Could be, you know. Could be. Anyway. I don't see any money coming from them. Anyway, carry on, Holly.
No, carry on, Holly. Sorry to interrupt there. What a cheat that is.
The results showed that I listened to, get this, 15,092 minutes of the podcast last year, making me part of the top 0.5% of listeners to your show.
15,000 minutes? But that... We haven't done that many minutes.
Well, keep listening over and over again.
Listen again, because we're good because we include gags, don't we, that you only get on the second time listening. So you need to download it at least twice.
We'll just rewind and go back to the beginning.
Yeah, I think so,
because of the figures.
Does this make me eligible for superfan status?
Yes.
I would say yes.
0.5,
I must explain that I have been helping my parents over the last year renovate their house and garden, and I listen to you and your beautiful tones as I complete mindless tasks such as painting, chainsawing, mowing, trench digging, and much more.
We're good for mindless tasks.
Mindless tasks, thanks. Didn't need to include that bit. Anyway,
no, but it jazzes up the mindless tasks.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because he's listening to us.
Yeah, that's true.
At this point, I would like to make a selfish request for some tat. I would love to drink the copious amounts of tea I have throughout my building and landscaping sessions from a greatest hit Simon Mayo mug, and afterwards it would take pride of place in the new kitchen.
Okay.
If you need any more evidence of my dedication to this podcast, I've managed to subscribe and turn my best friend and his family, my girlfriend and my own family, into confession podcast regulars. He's very good, this guy.
Yeah.
I understand that you must reach a very high standard to be awarded such tat, and so will not be offended if you decide on a much worthier recipient.
Oh, nice little bit of humility there.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice.
Very, but very I like winning.
That. Yeah,
best like wishes and Merry Christmas, Archie, aged 18, from Herefordshire.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that is very impressive.
That was a lot.
Top 0.5% makes you the elite. Definitely. I don't know if they do. They do it any smaller amounts than that.
I don't think so. I'm impressed that an 18-year-old is digging trenches. I've got to say, I wasn't digging any trenches when I was 18.
He's digging trenches. He's listening to us. Yeah. He's listening to your old ones at the other place.
Uh huh.
He's smashing it out of the park.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what are we going to send his way then? What are we sending?
A mug and a postcard.
All that work for a mug and a postcard.
Hope you're happy with that.
Okay, Archie. Thank you very much. Indeed, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. If you also are part of the 0.5% club, and apologies to Simon Dean, who thought he had a moment of triumph being in the top 1%, and then he was beaten.
Yeah.
Isn't that like life?
Isn't it, though?
A couple of mentions to Phil, Norman, Pam and Polly, Lee G. Harrison and Stevie Jenkins. Amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, up the drainpipe. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast, if he has time to think of anything.
Yes.
Still to come, Jane's bad Boxing Day, but first it's Ollie's confession, the fright before Christmas.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Here we go with the last festive confession. This comes from Ollie. Ollie says, Simon and the team, today's is a PG certificate, I suppose. Anyway, today's shopping with toddlers confession inspired me to pen this for you and all. One Christmas Eve back in the last century, we realised that we were a few items short of a full celebration. Full of excitement for his imminent new brother and maybe some prezzies, 22-month-old Kit and his dad offered to help lumbering mum with this final emergency Christmas shop. Christmas Eve in Waitrose is not an easy experience. Mm. We only needed a few things, but so did the rest of Bristol. The shop was rammed and the Christmas promotions near the entrance, pistachio and cherry Stollen wreaths, Belgian waffle biscuits, and jewelled Cointreau and cranberry Christmas pudding had the works. Anyway, these offers created a complete logjam of trolleys, most with toddlers installed in the opening seat. After about 15 minutes of queuing, we managed to inch forward towards our first target, the fresh cranberries, which we needed to make a traditional sauce for our roast. Having recently returned from a stint in Singapore, we yearned for a traditional English turkey dinner. We secured a clamshell punnet of deliciously red fresh cranberries, well, this is Waitrose, which we trusted to our son Kit, 22 months old, to look after and examine whilst we began looking for gaps to reach the fresh broccoli, for whatever reason that
might
be.
Why would you need that?
Suddenly I heard Kit, 22 months old, exclaim, whoopsie, and I turned to see a shower of plump cranberries launching upwards as he clutched either side of the clamshell catapult. That day I learned that fresh cranberries bear remarkable properties, the first of which is that they bounce, both silently and far, just like your headphone earbuds when they fall out down the steps.
Right.
Looking around for help was hopeless due to the gridlock and grim determination of everyone to just get it done. There was nothing for it but to ask a nearby trolley driver to reach for a replacement punnet and continue our journey inch by inch towards the broccoli, for whatever reason that is. Moving the trolley, however, was more difficult now. At least one cranberry was under each wheel, creating an efficient if squeaky brake, another remarkable physical property of cranberries. This was also evidenced by a brilliant red streak now down the cleanly polished floor. In fact, it wasn't just my wheels that were stuck. An effective homing instinct of the cranberries, another amazing instinct that they have, has ensured that every loose cranberry found a different wheel in the aisle, and even those in adjacent aisles. Everyone in the jam was now finding it harder and harder to move, and there was also some memorable art being created on the floor. Either that or it looked like a scene from a Christmas slasher movie. Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem. You know the kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gold, frankincense and murder.
Ooh.
Luckily for us, the spirit of Christmas came true and the result in the crowd was pure hilarity. Even Kit's godfather, Uncle Nobby, who'd appeared
Uncle
near
Nobby.
The entrance, was laughing loudly. I changed the name.
Yeah.
Along with most others, we eventually made it to the broccoli, but not without a lot of extra shoving. Why would you shove to get the...
No,
I'd say, yeah, I'm terribly sorry. I'd love to have got the broccoli, but I couldn't get because of the blood on the floor in Waitrose. I'm afraid we created too much of a clean-up job later that Christmas Eve for the busy staff. But in the circumstances, there really was nothing else that we could have done other than curtail Kit's innate curiosity for new things, or offer to pay for the dispersed punnet. We look forward to the favourable verdict of the collective court to rest our lingering concerns, even if we did leave the supermarket looking like a festive abattoir. Uncle Nobby still recounts this story with joy, most recently at a mechanical engineer Kit's wedding to Nessa this October, because he's now 32
Aww.
Years old.
Right.
Anyway, the names are real, apart from Uncle Nobby. Cheers. That's from Ollie, who says, keep up the great work. We love listening and have done so for many years. I think that's a cheap attempt at getting forgiveness. Which
it works, though, yeah.
Well, it will from you. It won't from Sister Holly.
Well, I respect you shopping at Waitrose, but shopping at Waitrose on Christmas Eve, not a good idea. It's not for the week. You can't do it.
Bejeweled Cointreau and cranberry Christmas puddings.
It's too much. There's too much going on. And I think the real problem here is, why did you give the cranberries to a 22-month-old kid?
Yeah.
Why? Why would you give it to him? It's obviously going to end in a disaster. Cranberries went everywhere. This poor Waitrose workers had to clear it all up on Christmas Eve. Poor guys. And that's why I'm not forgiving this, I'm afraid. I know it's Christmas, but I can't.
I know, but she's our own festive Holly, but the spirit of Christmas has not descended
no,
upon her just yet.
Clearly not.
Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive because, frankly, it was about time that Kit started pulling his weight and pulling the punnet of cranberries. And it's not his fault that they all went all over the over the floor. Well, you know, he was just tossing them a bit, as you do with your cranberries, and they went on the floor, which is how it works. But isn't that what Christmas is all about? Certainly not broccoli. I don't know why they were bothering that.
What?
And Uncle Nobby, he didn't turn up until right at the end. That didn't make any sense at all. Anyway,
yeah,
doesn't matter.
What was he doing?
What was he doing there? So for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Uncle Nobby just appeared to be standing at the,
yes,
at the exit.
Yeah, he didn't help at all.
No,
he could
no.
have been holding the cranberries this whole time.
The punnet, yeah.
I blame
Nobby.
Him,
to be
honest.
It's all Nobby's fault.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's one ends up with one of those classic Christmas confession combinations. Something to look forward to. Here we go. This one comes from Jane, who gets the smart speaker. Simon, Matt, Holly, and all the team. That's right, Christmas Holly is with us on the show today. For many years, I've considered sending in my Christmas confession and have finally plucked up the courage to do so. My confession is from Boxing Day in the early 90s, the heady times before marriage, kids, and life made me sensible. When people went away for Christmas to the many hotels and B&Bs that lined the streets of Cliftonville and Margate. It was a cold afternoon spent in a cosy flat with friends, eating, drinking and making much merriment. As the day drew on, the party games became louder and more outrageous, ending with a game of forfeits.
Oh no.
Nothing good
can ever come
of a game of forfeits. Eyebrows were shaved, dodgy haircuts Ooh. Given, and many truly disgusting things were eaten.
Oof.
My turn arrived. My forfeit was to eat a tea bag sandwich. Now, as a young 20-something with questionable eating habits, there was no way I could even consider taking a bite between two bits of bread and a used tea bag. So after much deliberation, I was given a choice. The sandwich or a run in a pair of boxers and size 11 boots. And nothing else.
Mm.
And a run along to the end of the road and past the nearest hotel and back.
Okay.
Says Jane. Okay. I chose the run.
Of course.
Huge boxers and boots were donned. Oh, I should say he's got a PG certificate.
Oh, yes. I mean, we've worked that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huge boxers and boots were donned. The front door was opened and I was off. one arm across my chest, saving my blushes, the other holding the boxes up. There wasn't a lot of running done. Just try running in size 11 boots when you're 5 foot and a size 4.
Okay.
It just doesn't happen. This was a trial by cold. I safely made it back to the flat without losing any more dignity than I already had. Many cheers and applauds were given. You don't... applauds? Okay. What a sport I was, says Jane. So I could seek forgiveness from Jim, who spent a fortune getting his haircut back to what it looked like half-decent before we had a go at it, or to Sally, who had to return to work with only one eyebrow. But no, they gave as good as they got. I really need to seek forgiveness from the guests at the Royal Norfolk Hotel, Cliftonville, who were sitting down in the large picture windows of the dining room to enjoy their Boxing Day suppers. Grannies, families, the good and the wholesome of Christmas right there. And for some reason, a collection of Kent clergymen.
Of course there were. Yes, in full
clergy gear.
Yeah, having
a post-Christmas relaxation with a sherry, a few sandwiches, and now a half-naked woman.
Yeah.
Eyes on sticks. Anyway, no one was expecting to see much on the dark evening, and getting me running under several streetlights near naked was a shock for everybody. I hope they were all okay eventually. If you wonder how Margate got its reputation for the party town, you needn't wonder no more, says Jane. I mean, clearly the moral here is never ever agree to a game of forfeits. There is eyebrows, hairstyles.
What even is the game forfeit? So am I really out of the loop here? Apart from it just being is it just pranking? Is it like truth or dare?
Yeah, it's pranking. And then if you you play a game, cards or whatever, if you lose, then the rest of them choose a forfeit.
Oh, goodness.
So you either have to eat something horrendous or run around Margate without many clothes on.
No.
I think I would choose to eat a teabag sandwich, I think. Yeah. Probably. What would you have done,
Holly? I would just refuse. This is the thing. I just wouldn't take part in these sort of things. I'd be like, no, sorry, I'm a bit above that. I'm not doing it. I just would say I'm not doing it because it's just not very cool. I just don't like it. Any sort of weird pranking thing I just think is fun. These poor people just sat down on a Boxing Day with their family, the clergymen, all sorts, in their hotel, seeing someone really lowering the tone of Margate, can I just say, running around naked. And
not
it's
quite. I mean, almost.
Yeah, but it's not good enough, really, and that's why I'm not forgiving at all. Don't like it.
Holly, speaking on behalf of the Synod of Kent, the clergyman didn't go to that particular hotel at that particular time and expect that Eiffel. Brother Matthew.
Let's be absolutely honest here. The clergy were very happy with their trip to Margate that year and delighted. They will have gone back every year since in the hope that they get the young lady running past with the boxers and the boots.
That'll be Jane.
So, yes, I'm definitely going to forgive because everyone enjoyed it and she sounds like she had a whale of a time. And a pity about Sally with the eyebrow, but there you go. You take your chance. For those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Well, I think that Holly has got a point, which is if you are having a forfeity kind of party, then this kind of stuff is precisely what's going to happen.
You'll end up with eyebrows and hair all over the place.
And running naked through Margate in front of the vicar.
So yeah, so once you've got yourself into a forfeit party, it's always going to end like that. Is it? It always involves nudity. And again, proving my life maxim of
what's that?
And that is, if anyone ever says, "Ooh, if I lose this bet, I'm going to take all my clothes off," then basically what is happening is that person is secretly saying, "I want to take all of my clothes off. I just want to be naked." Because everyone who has ever lost any bet that involves them taking the clothes off secretly wants to take
the
clothes off.
What's your experience here? It feels as though you've definitely...
There's no one I'm thinking of other than former presenter to Match of the Day. Oh, if Leicester City win, I'm going to strip off. Oh, look at me, topless on BBC One. Good for you, Lance. Not thinking of anyone in particular, but, you know, a little too desperate to show us his six-pack. Unlucky sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cover them up, love. That's a line from the 70s.
Yes.
Anyway, it's the end of a slightly truncated podcast. Again, I accept full responsibility due to sickness. and now health, which is a lovely thing. If you have a tale of shame that you feel as though you can share with us, we would like to swap it in exchange for a smart speaker. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
The secret code phrase for this week is cover 'em up, love. Cover 'em up, love is this week's secret code phrase.
A late new entry.
Yes, it was.
If you made it this far, you can post this week's code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky or even Instagram at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram or Simon Mayo.
This is working really well. Glad we don't have to edit this bit. Go ahead.
Instagram at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram or just Simon
just
Mayo
Instagram.
On Blue Sky.
Okay.
Also Matt, who's still hanging around in that den of filth.
The den of filth. Very much like-minded people like me.
Remember to leave a 5-star review. Thank you very much indeed. And of course, as we head into the season of goodwill and gifting, don't forget to share the podcast with a friend or a loved one or a colleague, because what they really want for Christmas is to be told that this podcast is a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is. Try and get into our top 0.5%.
We'll be looking back at the best confessions of the year in a top 10 confessions countdown next week, and we'll be back in a few weeks with a brand new batch of confessions once things have, you know, got back to normal. Until then, Sister Susie says nothing because she's not here. Yeah. From the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly says,
Merry Christmas.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew says,
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much indeed for listening. We will be with you very, very shortly. Happy Christmas.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.